Amen. So I happen to know the next song coming up, and it's a song that says, if he did it once, he can do it again. So I was going to kind of get in the song a little bit, but everyone's still seated, so I'm going to take over the service real quick. I think I'm allowed to. My name is David Amston, and I'm a pastor here. So can we get lights on the house? Band, if you guys, I'm going to be moving. You're going to want to get out of my way. I feel a preaching a mantle on. Don't even get your phone. You don't need it unless you're logging in, unless you're checking into Facebook, hashtagging me. I don't know what happened, but I'll review it later. We got that fixed. So if you're joining us either live, if you're on the podcast, I just need to take a second here. And I need to tell you this, because if you don't need to hear it, I need to hear it today. If God did it once, he can do it again. Okay? Here's why I say that. If I'm really honest with you, how many do New Year's resolutions? I know there's a new thing around now where you take one word for your next year. How many have ever done that? One word that's going to be your word for the year. I know some of you do. So I've already been thinking about that because I've been working on next month's sermons already, New Year's revolution. Because if we don't have a revolution in our mind, you're just going to make another revolution around the sun. And that's not what God's called you to do. And so I've already been focused. I've already been thinking about it. I've been asking this question. What is my word for 2018? And I'll be honest with you. One word keeps coming to mind. Nervous. Welcome to Positive Pete's Inspirational Speech this morning. I need to tell you, I'm nervous. Now, I know I can't land on that. Maybe even the pastors won't let me here. But I'm nervous about 2018 because there's a lot of things in 2018 we're already planning on doing that I've never done before. But I'm willing to do what I have never done before so I can have what we've never had before. Right? Does that make sense? But February 4th, we're going to two services. The reason we're going to two services is because we are in a time of growing and we believe that the seating capacity and the parking lot facility and things like that, as well as diversity of time, gives us a greater opportunity to touch more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to do that. Here's why I'm nervous. We have two options. We go to two services and grow. We go to two services and we decrease. Welcome to a pastor's life. See, the thing is, if you don't turn a report in on time, your manager knows about it. When we say we're growing and we go to two services and we don't grow, I'm the guy up here going, well, we're going to scale it back. So I'm nervous about that. Am I okay to be honest with everybody today? Okay, because what I've been doing lately is I've been focusing on how do we do this? Because the next thing you know is that our building is under contract. We're selling. So here's your building update. We don't know where we're going. We have no bids on property. We have no bids on a new building. And currently, the contract that we're under here, so in order for the finances to be in place, the zoning had to be in place. And ready for zoning to be in place, you had to have the historical credits in place. In order for that to be in place, the contract had to be. So basically, we're under a contract that has no contingencies anymore. So that means this. From now until closing, they can get out of it. I knew that wasn't good amens, right? That one isn't a page turner. So, but here's what they did come back with. We understand that you're basically going into a partnership with us now. And because of this partnership, we want to give you an additional, everyone, you may want to warm your hands up. We're going to give you an additional $400,000 to take this journey with us. Okay, So God, now you're giving us surplus, which is something you told us you would. Now you're giving us what we need to go, but we can't actually go because they have in their pocket what we need in our pocket to pay into someone else's pocket to get the new day. Did everyone follow that? So I've been meditating on the children of Israel. Now, when I say meditating, I don't know what philosophy or worldview you have. That doesn't mean that I've been sitting around with my legs crossed, fingers turned, and humming. Some of you read your daily Bible and to get through the Bible in a year, and so you read a lot. I'm better at reading a very short amount. That tells you a lot about me, right? Kind of IQ and everything. So, like, I would rather have quality versus quantity. So I just find myself staring at the children of Israel, because there was a time when they were in Egypt, they were slaves, they were under captivity, and they weren't getting paid, but now God came and delivered them through Moses. So as they're leaving, they start getting back pay. They do. Is there everyone? They start giving them gold. They start giving them carts. So you have the children of Israel going, man, we're getting a lot of surplus and we're getting out of town. We have all this gold and we have all this stuff. Where are you going? Well, there's no land bought yet. There's no building bought yet. There's not a lease, a rental, or a plan. You just got to go that way. And so children of Israel now are going out. So then they get to this Mount Sinai, and here's what they were told. And this word resonates in my heart. Wait. I'm going to go up the mountain, hear from God, but when they're waiting time, what they did is they built a false worship. They built a calf out of gold, and they started worshiping. And Moses came down and goes, guys, I just told you to wait. Why couldn't you wait? Just sit there and wait. But you didn't wait. You had to come up with something that makes you feel like you're doing religion versus waiting on me and the relationship. So then they get into the wilderness, and then they start grumbling to the point where they go, we should go back. I got to be honest, it's pretty hard to say I want to stay here. Right. So how many, I'm just going to ask you a quick question. How many of you go, it's a little chilly in here today? Yeah. We have never turned the heat off since last week. But it's so cold outside, this brick freezing house, sometimes you call them a brick oven if you come during the summertime. Rather than baking us in the summer, it's freezing us winter. We can't keep up with the heat. Like we've tried. Our last month's electric bill was $1,700. Trying to keep up just having heat in here. But yet, you kind of go, well, we're here, we're established, maybe we should stay. And then you have the children of Israel, while they're out there, they're grumbling with what God had given them. God was giving them free food every day. All they had to do was open their front door, and they said, it's not enough. And he goes, I'll give you enough. I'll give you some quail to eat. I'll give you some birds to eat. And actually, it says it ate so much. Hey, kids, this one's for you. They ate so much, food came out of their nose. And they still weren't content. And here's the interesting thing about the Promised Land. The Promised Land was a three-week journey that took 40 years. And God never moved the Promised Land. Satan, the enemy, never moved the Promised Land. The Promised Land was always where it was supposed to be. The problem was the people weren't ready to grab it yet. I've started preaching and no one knows it yet. So the Promised Land was always where it was going to be. But the problem was the enemy comes and he says stuff like this to leadership. You need to, I feel like amens are in your back pocket. So why don't you stand up? Everyone stand up for me. Be ready to reach in your back pocket. I'm going to have the band come up here and help me because I'm going to start preaching now. But you got to understand this. I would love to say we're here with the plan to announce where we're going. This last week, I went to a piece of property, drove up to the house, planning on knocking on the door, and it was either the Holy Spirit that checked me or the White Castle I had right before I got there, but it didn't feel right to knock on the door because I didn't know what I was supposed to say. I didn't have that word from God that says go. I hadn't been up to the top of that mountain to get the blueprints for the new day. And so now I'm sitting here, and the last thing I'm going to do as a pastor is I'm going to come before you and go, hey, here's some false worship so that you guys feel good about not knowing where we're going. So here's a little bit of a calf. Here's a little bit of worship. So get excited about nothing. I can't do that. Here's what I can tell you. I'm excited because we're moving to the future that God has called us. The last thing in our waiting period, I'm going to be found wanting, because if I'm wanting, God will say this, you must need to wait some more. Nope, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable, God, right where you have me, with the food that you're giving us, the surplus that you sent us with, because there will be a day that we know where we're supposed to go. And in 2018, you can go on a journey with me. You can go on a journey with us. We as a church can move into the new day with the surplus that God has given us, with the understanding of where we're going, but more than anything, knowing that we're in God's perfect time. And if he did it once for them, he can do it again for us. Do you agree with that? Is there a place in your life where you're ready for a mountain to be moved? Then do this. Say it. You're going to do it again, God. Every stronghold that you're fighting against, you have to know he's going to make a way where there is no way. Come on. Let's worship God.